Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderous. This is Rockwell Pearson.
And Isaac Willamy.
Let's get right into it. So we got Tommy here with us, and Dylan. So what were you saying about the fucking agent that made a Instagram?
Oh, yeah, no, this fucking dude, I don't know, I think I saw it on, like, Last Week Tonight or something, maybe.
Oh,
but
shit.
This dude, like, wrote an algorithm to fucking, like, take a picture off of Instagram and then find, like, live camera footage of people taking that fucking picture.
Jesus.
It's one of the creepiest fucking things I've ever seen.
Oh, my.
Jesus, fuck. That shit's weird.
Yeah, dude. Jeez. I don't like that. See, it's the general, like, overarching theme that I've been noticing lately of just dystopian-ass integration of technology. Like, the robot dogs and the facial recognition and the social... See, what worries me is the social credit scores. Because people don't think about this. You can kind of get away with a social credit score in a country where things tend to stay relatively the same culturally, because at least you know what the social credit is. Could you imagine trying to have a social credit score in America where in 4 years your score
Dude,
can go from 700?
Socializing here.
Okay.
The fuck
here.
Is a social credit score?
So
basically, it's where, like, the CCP uses it hard, and they're really using it with COVID here, but basically, like, every citizen has a, like, point rating system. Like, if you're green, you're red. If you're green, you can go out, you can shop, you can eat groceries and stuff. But if that turns to red, which can do it at the most arbitrary times, like, say you have 400 on the streets at a given point, you're not allowed to leave your house, you're not allowed to go out, or you're instantly arrestable.
Jesus.
Especially with COVID, they can just be like, oh, you have COVID, even though you last had a body test and see that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So that's the biggest issue with the social credit score, is it's also having wrong opinions of the government. And so when the government changes every 4 years, it's hard not to end up having wrong opinions, even if it's a crossover point. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing stopping them, because there's a difference in the time differential between when you take office and when you are officially the president. You know what I mean? Like, people are named in as officially the president.
Yeah.
While the other guy's finishing his term.
Like, the Biden
but that means
administration
he has...
didn't begin doing anything.
Yeah.
Until, like, a year or so in.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of... I don't know. It blows my mind because there's this boxer in China. He's like a kickboxer. And the way that it works in Chinese culture is they raise these kids in these athletic programs. Like, it is their school. It's like a boarding school for them. And they just go hard on it every day. And they do, like, classes around it, too. Like, they're going through their general education. But then their extracurricular activity is their life. Yeah, like, that's their focus.
Like, it's a burn-and-turn society.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they...
So they're making a bunch of winter soldiers.
A bunch of winter
is what you're getting at.
I mean, yes, but that's a thing with their... So, because of the aging crisis that we're in, a lot of different places are having to implement different ways of actually attempting to boost testosterone in their populations of young men, because we're having such an issue with that right now in the Western world.
Yeah.
Is the low testosterone
levels. Probably because of the food.
Well, people don't feel like economically stable to plan and have a kid.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, we're in a pretty good society where, like, we have 12 options of butter at the store.
Thankfully, but we also, the average American now consumes almost a credit card's worth of plastic a week. That's insane to me.
It's got to be messing up the body.
Well, it's actually, like, shortening...
Oh, man.
Most of the seafood has plastic in it now.
Yeah.
I was just telling Dylan about how I ate shoelaces when I was drinking.
You what?
Yeah, do you want
like,
to see
swallowed
the
them?
You ate shoelaces.
Yeah, so there's this band, As I Lay Dying, and they're fucking, they were super rad. But their vocalist, I think he went to prison for like 4 or 5 years, maybe, for fucking taking a hit out on his wife.
What? Jesus.
Yeah, and I was fucking, I was living in Fargo, and they released, like, a teaser, and it sounded like him doing vocals, and I was like, no fucking way. So this was back when I was actually active on Twitter, and I fucking, as a joke, tweeted, if Tim Lambesis is back in As I Lay Dying, I'll eat my fucking shoelaces. And then, like, a week later, they fucking dropped the single, and he's back as their vocalist.
Oh.
And, yeah, I was such a train wreck, and I just didn't give a shit, so I was like, fuck it, I'm a man of my word, so, yeah, let me see if I can find it. That's what I was doing. Yeah, there's fucking...
That, I mean, I respect it, honestly.
Fiber.
Yeah, I, oh, yeah, it's like a so bowl of raisin bran, bro, like, gets you set up good.
Oh, yeah. Dude, if I had a deep
fryer,
I could
probably surprise, but my
fucking
hurt so goddamn bad.
Oh.
For so long.
Oh, God, dude. I'm sure. Yeah, did they, like, knot up inside of you?
You know, I never looked. I never looked at my shit after I did that.
So you didn't have a like long string of like
shoelace shit?
All your health issues
yep.
Because you've had a shoelace inside of you.
No, dude.
You can't forget about the egg lids, too.
I was there. I actively caused all of my
plastic on the egg lids.
Oh, I like how this kid knows aglets from Phineas and Ferb because that's where we all know them from.
Yep.
That is the only way.
My dad always made fun of me for watching that.
It was such a good show.
It was.
One
I mean,
of the best.
I feel like they kind of lost the plot.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
here we go. Fucking.
They tried to add a plot. That was
yeah.
Let's see. June 6, 2018. If Tim Lambesis ends up back in As I Lay Dying, I'll eat my fucking shoelaces. June 18th. I work at 4:30. Not sure if I'll post it before or after, but believe me, there will be a video of me eating my shoelaces before the day is over.
There's no way. Oh, you look so different, bro.
Yeah, dude, I was going through a rough fucking patch.
Oh, my
if
God,
if you can't
dude.
Tell.
Whoa. Yeah, you definitely had a huge glow up, bro. Jesus.
Yeah.
You look far more Asian in those, though.
Yeah.
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 Gross, man. What a fucking pig.
Jesus Christ.
God damn, dude. What the fuck did I do with my 20s?
You're
now
good,
you can look
man.
Look back and be like,
yeah.
Oh, I was a dumbass not doing that again.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you could still be in it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's better than asking, like, some... I feel bad for the people that hit 50 and have those midlife crises where they're like, where am I at in life? Like, bro, you should have a midlife crisis every 6 months, honestly. If you're actually evaluating yourself and attempting to better your life, you should average...
Well, just every
like,
time you get bored.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Or you can be like me and every day is a crisis for no reason.
As I said, every time you get bored.
Yeah, like... I have so many existential crises.
Crises.
Octopi. Yeah.
That's such a weird...
Crises.
Did you guys know that octopi fucking walk on the seafloor?
What?
Scientists say that they have 6 arms and 2 legs because they use 2 of their tentacles to like walk on the seafloor.
And they all have a brain, or at least a nervous system.
That's wild. See, I know that they're really smart.
Like, they have like 8 consciousnesses, kind of, sort of, a little bit.
So, like, each arm and leg is independent?
Well, yeah, but they have, like, they each have a nervous system. So, like, they're each kind of a living being.
That's wild.
Like,
Dude, the sea
Ghidorah
is crazy.
Did you say Dora?
No, Ghidorah.
Oh,
it's like Dora.
Yeah.
Ghidorah.
The Explorer, you know.
Ghidorah couldn't turn around and see the fucking lake.
Ghidorah is actually Latin for world slayer. A lot of people don't know that.
You make a good point. So Ghidorah. What is a Ghidorah?
Do
Have you guys ever seen Godzilla?
No.
Not with attention.
Good. Yeah, no, I don't pay attention to the plot. I just watch the big monsters punch the other big monsters and occasionally a robot.
Well, yeah, but you gotta know the monster's name.
And
the
otherwise, moth.
How are you gonna tell everyone who your favorite is and why they could kick their person's favorite monster's
name? I know the one that looks like a moth is called Mothra.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I do know that one.
Yeah, there's Godzilla, Mothra, Ghidorah, which is the three-headed dragon.
Oh!
And there's Rodan. Yeah, I think Rodan.
Sounds familiar.
He's like a fire dragon thing.
It should be Dragon Man.
Dragon
Man. I remember that.
See, the meta behind Kong is so cool to me. Like, I wish we could see more of his, people. Because
Origins.
What's that?
His origins?
Not Skull Island.
No, not the Skull Island origins, before that. There's this whole meta that they added, I think, in the newest movies.
Yeah.
Where he actually comes from a civilization of underground dwelling gigantic apes. And Godzilla wiped his entire species out. And Kong is a child. Right. On Skull Island, he's a child.
That's why he could climb over the Empire State Building, because he was small.
Oh. So now he's beginning to be an adult, and he's attempting to take up a crusade. This was the setup, from a philosophical level, that
which
they added between
really cool and
Kong and Godzilla.
A really, really cool thing to have in a movie. But
if they would have explored it,
as opposed to the humans we get to watch as they watch the monsters. Yeah.
See, I don't care about the humans in movies like that. I don't want to see them. It doesn't humanize the movie because all the actors they choose are supposed to be badasses that you know aren't actually going to add anything to the plot.
They can't.
Actually,
the movie knows.
Doesn't matter if
the
humans falling out of a building.
Yeah.
Until they're like, hey, King Kong. We have monorails around the entire planet under the ground, and we have access to the center of the globe now. Because
what confuses me is the fact that they can show more fight footage when it was stop motion.
Right.
Than they can now with all the CGI we have.
Yeah.
I get that they're trying to save money.
It's like the fact that Star Wars space fights don't look a whole lot better than some toys on a string.
Yeah, they really don't, which is crazy.
Practical effects are fucking pretty goddamn incredible. Made 10,000 different orc masks for Lord of the Rings.
There is the problem now we got where every cinematic monster kind of looks the same.
Yeah.
They all use that same CGI generation. So, hey, slightly bonier elbows, little bony protrusions, kind of skinny but buff. Okay, saw that 5,000 times now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Putting that much effort into it.
I feel a bunch of people might get upset if you make a fat monster in a movie these days. I feel like that's something that would end up reason.
Just do Warhammer. That's a quarter of them.
Yeah, a controversial,
Snorlax. Snorlax be the villain.
Dude, I don't know, man.
It's hard to predict what's going to be controversial.
How do you make something fat scary, though? Dude,
I don't know, man.
That's the problem.
You make it like King Hippo and Punch-Out, except not with an obvious weakness.
I mean, yeah, you could make it, grotesque,
really close to
but,
him.
Well, it doesn't have to be grotesque. Think, what's his name from Spider-Man? What's the big guy? Kingpin, Kingpin.
He's not fat, though. He's gigantic.
He's a bowling ball.
But that's what you have to do with that. Yeah. I just feel like even if you do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about, something fat.
Oh, you're talking, my 600-pound life fat?
Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt?
Barely get out of the chair fat?
Yeah.
There's Baron Harkonnen from Dune. He's a creature dude.
Oh, yeah. He does good, but that's... With all of them, you kind of have to do the respect more than the, actual...
Yeah, it's more of a, they're behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Something else.
But, anyone can kind of achieve that level of respect regardless of size. I just wish that they'd give that respect element to somebody that was actually scared.
No fucking respect for me.
Go to the South Pole and tell me your astrology works down there the same way. It doesn't. You can't see the same stars.
Can't see the
But yeah, no, I feel like
the charts are also 2,000 years old when the stars were in completely different fucking positions in the sky.
Also, I've caught just...
And also, they're so fucking far away that we don't even actually know if they're still there, so shut the fuck up.
Dude, the people I
know... Oh my god, dude, astrology makes me so fucking mad. This is probably why I'm gonna fucking die alone. Like, because I can't not get fucking worked up about it, dude. It's so fucking annoying. Like, it's so, like... It's so fucking bigoted and, like, blindly fucking hateful. Like, I've heard so many fucking people, like, oh, you're a Virgo. Like, the fucking shit that they will talk based on something that was completely out of that person's fucking hands.
Yep.
It's just as stupid as being fucking racist.
Yeah. Except, like, I've also noticed a lot of that shit with people I talk to that are into that. Like, it seems like it's based a lot on the fucking, like, whatever, 17th century French mysticism, which was just batshit insane. Like, Agartha.
And constantly, the scientific community says there is nothing...
You can't trust the experts. They're in the government pays them all.
Did you... And they're so, like, generalized when say you're a Virgo, oh you have these traits.
That's what they always hit you with. Well, yeah, horoscopes are like that, but you need to know your actual moon sign and your fucking I'm going to rise my fist through your skull.
Oh,
fuck.
Jesus. Dude, I'm not gonna say that it doesn't annoy me. But I used to be far more annoyed by it until I learned to just look at it the same as I do the 16 personalities test, where it's just their way of attempting to explore and understand human psychology without actually wanting to dedicate themselves enough to learn actual human psychology and personality traits.
That's the thing, is like, inherently, yeah, I have no problem. Like, whatever makes me happy, fucking do it.
But
nobody's cool about it.
See, I've met people that are cool about it.
I know one person, my friend Genevieve, who
I've
fucking known her for like goddamn fucking forever, like 10 years. She's like the only person I've ever fucking met that is like cool about astrology. Everyone else is just.
Dude, you've been talking with the wrong people about it. Then you know what I mean, like.
I'm also an asshole.
I don't know. I found a lot of the time.
Extremely quick to judge and anger.
Fair.
It's the people that think they know about it.
It's also the ones with some very clear mental troubles that are not being addressed, and therefore they found this as an outlet.
Yeah.
See, that can happen with literally anything, though. It's hit a point where it makes me more sad than anything to see that. What do you do at that point? Like, when they're coping coping so hard that they are deep within it.
I mean, it's religion.
It's dogmatic.
I mean, we're humans. We need to define ourselves as something long term in order to not find that existential dread too much to bear.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. That's why one of
dude, I can't wait.
Ugh,
I can't wait for the fucking lights to go out, dude.
Dude, I love that line from the Joker in the Dark Knight series where he's like, "All these supposedly sophisticated people would eat each other if the power went out."
Oh no, I meant like cease existing.
See, I would. That would be really cool to like watch the last black holes go out, and then maybe proton.
Decay. I don't know. The idea of like not existing really doesn't bother me. Yeah.
See,
I already did it, and I don't remember it at all. Can't even conceive
new.
It. So why fucking worry about it?
Like, no matter if it's nothing, if it's heaven, it's something new.
Have you guys ever thought about like the theory of the reverse Big Bang?
Yeah,
you know how
the rubber band where it recontracts and goes back to the single point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To where in an instant we're all just gone and we didn't know what happened.
Yep.
See, what's crazy is it wouldn't be us. We're so egocentric that we assume, like, I know that's how we have to, like...
I mean, it could be, but the problem
probably...
Infinitely. Like, the universe will probably be close to ending by the time that occurs.
I mean, just based on sheer luck that we honestly all tend to have, it may happen as soon as we get done recording this. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't that be fucking awful?
Speaking of that rubber band thing, I'd be lying if I said part of the reason I want to, like, get
more healthy mentally so I can try some really fucking crazy psychedelics.
Oh, yeah.
There's fucking, have you guys heard of Ibogaine?
No.
It's made from the root of the iboga plant, I think. I don't know. It's supposed to be, like, fucking super, super intense, though. Wow. And this dude, Aubrey Marcus, did it, and fucking, he said that he saw the Big Bang, and then, yeah, saw it, like, rubber band and contract, and then it kept doing that, and then, like, his field of vision, like, expanded, and our universe was, like, the heart of this fucking celestial being that was, like, running along with all these other celestial beings and shit.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're based, because, like, space-time's not, like, the base, like, platform of the universe. So it's expanding into something, which theoretically should at least end, even if we can't fathom when.
See, what's crazy to me is I feel like we tend to separate ourselves from the universe. You know what I mean? I feel like the question, is the universe sentient, is pointless, because we are a part of the universe, and we are sentient. Therefore, the universe is sentient because we are.
See, that's part of the thing, like, when it comes to, like, we're building all this stuff and destroying nature, like, we're part of nature. Like, buildings are technically nature. Like,
well,
repurposed.
You don't look at ants and go, oh my god, they destroyed the earth around them.
Yeah, like, if ants were huge, there would just be massive deforestation fucking everywhere.
Oh my god.
I mean, there already is in some places where there's just fuck tons of fucking ants. Like, they go through everything.
Well, what's crazy to me is the balance that exists. And that's what concerns me, is we've hit a runaway point.
Have we, though? Because, I mean, at any given point, a tectonic shift, a super volcano, an asteroid impact, and humanity is dealt a very serious blow. And it can be catastrophic enough to wipe us out without coming close to wiping out life alone.
Dude, I feel down to a fundamental level is fucking unbalanced right now.
Everything, which is suspicious.
Well, what's crazy is the world is legitimately turning faster. Like,
oh yeah, like everything is.
Like, scientifically right now, everything is speeding up, and I don't know what's going on.
And our concept of time is, warped, becoming more true because it's fucking nonsensical.
Well, what's crazy is how elevation can actually change our measurement of time.
It's gravity.
Yeah.
Like, which is funny, because gravity is, like, the weakest force in the universe.
Yeah.
We view time as, like, it's called space-time. Like, it's a major factor there, and yet one of the weakest forces in the universe has that effect on it.
Well, what's crazy is we just conceptualize it differently because we struggle to understand the scale of it. It may be one of the weakest forces in the universe, but
I mean, everything we know and, like, say is, like, that we could use in the universe is reliant upon it.
Exactly.
Like, solar systems, the collapses of gases into stars.
Well, that's because we're basically living, you know, when it rains and you see those raindrops, like, I used to bet which one would win on the window because they race each other down. We exist in a tiny pocket in a rainfall of entropy. We are that one spot on the window with no rain on it that just randomly forms as rain falls on a surface like that. We are in there somewhere.
And yet,
and that is our entire existence.
It's all
matter is in those little pockets in between of entropy, which is like the heat death of the universe. The loss of heat through friction.
See, that's always the funniest thing to me with fucking, like, entropy. Because, like, it's only very unlikely that entropy can decrease instead of increasing. And yet we have never come across anything relating to its decrease. Like, we've discovered very little. But at the same time, like, the odds aren't, like, compared to a lot of the things, like, physically, it's possible for a collection of molecules in space to gather together, like, the same as your consciousness is right now, and you'll exist for a fraction of a second.
Well, that's part of the theory of, like, anti-gravity, right? So a lot of people have the wrong idea of anti-gravity. There's this theory that the Big Bang was actually caused by everything sitting level, and so it's like waves in a, like, wave pool right now. Because
there would have needed to be something to react it.
Well, that's the thought, is all the atoms aligned correctly after, you know, a matter of time to actually create, like, anti-gravity, and you'd only need a tiny, tiny portion to be that initial ripple that starts that wave.
Yeah.
Because the thought is, we're basically living in, like, almost a fourth dimensional ocean. In our definition of space-time.
I feel like it's dangerous to... I always kind of distrust those theories that, like, link it to so, like, earthbound things. Like, I get it's a metaphor, but at the same time, like, thinking of space that it's an ocean is just... intrinsically flawed. Like, it's a good baseline.
Relative
to what we've known.
But that's the only way that we can conceptualize things. Because I think there's a difference in the understanding of what it is and the conceptualizing of it. And that's something that I feel like we've kind of lost the ability to clarify when we speak about things.
100%.
The way I like to describe it is, we know how to play the game, but we've forgotten everything behind it. Mm. Because... yeah, so
it's just, scientifically, it's tradition for tradition's sake at this point.
Exactly. In all our interactions, in everything our society's built on, and we've lost the deeper meaning behind everything, which is why life feels meaningless.
Yeah. Because, like, sure, morality is all well and good, but when 90% of those moral principles you use are never coming into play in your existence, then what was the point of them?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's wild, right? It's wild to think about. But that's kind of what's helped me find meaning in my life.
It's going deeper?
Yeah, it's going deeper and understanding what the game means instead of how to play. Which intrinsically makes you better at playing the game. And that's that, like, realness that people talk about. Like, we define it as, like, a genuine person. It's somebody who understands the game. It's like playing chess with somebody who knows how to play and playing somebody who doesn't. There's this weird connection that you have where you're like, oh, you get it. Mm-hmm. Real recognizes real, you know?
Oh, yeah, did you see, kind of random, but Bannerlord's got the, whatever the chess game, the one you've got.
Oh, yeah, Hnefatafl.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool that they added that. I truly recommend everybody who wants that meaning behind something. Hnefatafl is what you want to play if you want to understand the meaning behind a lot of our modern board games, especially chess.
And Gruppens.
Yep. If you want to drill strategy, tactics, and actual battlefield movement, because a lot of the disconnect that we have now and that which worries me when people cheer on for a civil war... You need to make the most efficient use of everything you have. It's not what you throw at it. It's why guerrilla tactics
are useful. That's why America has the best military, because we rely so heavily on the logistics.
Exactly.
We invest so much into it.
And it's the most efficient use of your resources. And Hnefatafl is all about how quickly can you accomplish this goal while either outnumbering them or outnumbered. Because it's a 1/4 advantage. Like, the...
Which, if you're positioned correctly, numbers shouldn't matter for shit. I mean, without, like, there's no, like, fatigue in it, but...
Yeah. But you begin to truly understand zones of control, as video games like to call it. Like, the area around you in which if you know what you're doing and other people don't, you will be able to hold them back. Because three of the four of us here work security to some aspect or another. You know what I mean? Like, are involved within that realm and have a deeper understanding of compared to the normal person.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I do is I've been playing a lot of Hnefatafl with Brooks. Because he's going into the Green Berets, hopefully. And I'm really happy for him, and I hope it goes well for him. Because he's been working really, really hard on that. But in order to get him where he needs to be from a special forces perspective mentally, it's actually been helping him a lot to kind of teach him it. And then it also makes you better at chess because you begin to understand how to control the board with a small amount of pieces. So it's like the effective use of a unit.
Tactical awareness.
Exactly.
I've never had the fucking patience to learn chess.
It's fun.
My dad forced me into chess club. I liked chess until I was forced into chess club.
I feel like that'll do it. You know what I mean? Anytime you're forced to do something, you're going to intrinsically not like it.
That's why a lot of people hate their jobs.
Yeah.
Because they're forced to do it.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
So, we just hit the 30-minute mark. We are going to go for a quick ad break, and then we'll be back. We appreciate you guys. But yeah, welcome back, guys.
As always, good to have you here.
Absolutely.
Who the fuck are your sponsors?
So it's really cool. We go through anchor.fm. I'm sure they just heard about this. So this is kind of like when they do a Raid Shadow Legends ad and then immediately afterwards talk about Raid Shadow Legends.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what it's like. I didn't mean to do that, but we're here now and I can't go back. So this is just what's going to happen.
Like this. Those fucking ads suck so goddamn bad.
Dude, I'm looking up right now how much they spend on ads.
I get so irrationally mad at fucking so much shit.
Well, see, that's the nice thing is, so we go through Anchor.fm, which is like a Spotify company.
And
we
don't work back to the plug, you shill.
Hey, come on, I'm not a shill. I'm just saying, like, I do legitimately want to talk
my
about
them. My opinions
that.
Are not there as Anchor.fm.
No, it's not even to, like, pander to them. I just truly, like, they've honestly made this process pretty easy. It's
super easy.
Like,
super understanding.
We're just saying that because we truly mean it every time at the end when we're like, please get a hold of us. We're happy to help you start your own podcast or give you business advice or anything we can really do to help you guys out. You know what I mean? Because
we knew nothing about podcasts.
Yeah. No, truly. We just kind of started doing this and we appreciate you guys being along for the ride. Like, it's a lot of fun and it's great to see how many of you have already come back for season 3, even though season 2 was like one episode and then. We ended up getting like
young motherfuckers got seasons.
Yeah, this is season 3. We started this during quarantine. It almost
2020.
Yeah, 2020. So almost 3 years ago now.
Fuck.
That's crazy,
bro.
That's weird to think about.
Yeah.
Holy.
I still reach for a mask.
Dude,
like going out of your. Like,
yeah, like I'm like every now and then I'm like, oh fuck.
Dude, the start of pandemic to the end of lockdown was like the slowest blink ever.
Yeah.
I spent most of it at his place doing these and playing video games, and we had guys randomly crawling through the windows to come say hi.
Jesus Christ.
Like, yeah, literally unannounced. Like, there was one time we're sitting like this next to each other on the couch. And this dude just slides in, one of our buddies, through the window, just plops down, puts his arms around both of us, and is like, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I just, yeah, like, it was a weird sense.
Quarantine was horrible.
Well, it was a weird sense of, like, security, knowing there was always people we knew around, but also absolute terror at how easily just random people we know would just be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. One of our buddies got stuck. I'm not going to say his name, but our bigger friend tried to follow us through, and he's on the Husky side, and he ended up getting caught in the window, and we had to, like, pull him out. Like a greasy... I'm not going to go any farther. But...
like a greasy...
Yeah, but a lot of people would just randomly show up.
I believe is what you were going to say.
I stopped
before
myself.
Before you fucking chickened out.
What do you mean chickened out? I'm attempting to... I don't know, man. I'm still...
Be respectful.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to be respectful to some degree while we're a bunch of real-life internet trolls sitting around and chatting. Like,
I mean, you're not using their name, so fuck it. Be mean.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So this greased hog of a human being gets stuck in the window with his legs... hanging through like the Wicked Witch of the West just got caught under a house, only she's there to mudjack it up and keep it level. And we had to run outside and physically drag him out.
I feel like I said, fuck it, be mean, and you just tried to make that as colorful as possible in as few words as possible, and it worked.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, I was curious, and fucking, I'm guessing the people that own Raid is called Polarium.
Polarium.
But they spent, as of December last year, they spent $8.66 million on YouTube for ads.
Jeez. Oh my god, dude. That is...
And it shows.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, I'd love to be one of the guys making money off of that, honestly. Like, respect to the game, because that's... When you get into YouTube
you have enough money to
at
get
this
Jeff
point...
Goldblum on your commercials.
Yeah, like, it's so corporatized that if you get into YouTube... You know exactly what you're there for. Like, he and I decided to try YouTube out with a Pokemon unboxing video. It's incredibly embarrassing.
It's horrible.
Go check it out if you want to make fun of us, because it is so bad. But let's face it, we're a bunch of fucking nerds. And it was so much fun talking about random things with just Pokemon cards being unboxed in the background on my computer. On my computer. Yeah, it was just us making fun of all the weird things that are in Pokemon now. Because... I don't know if you've, like, looked through their collection of cards lately.
I have not.
But, wow, dude. It is wild. You remember it's Digimon? That's what they're starting to look like
dude,
now.
Fucking... Hell yeah, dude. Digimon was way cooler than fucking Pokemon.
I think the word you might be looking
die
for
die on
is
this
cheaper.
Fucking hell.
Cheaper?
Yeah, they're just...
Yeah, dude.
What was that? They have, like, 18 different dog Pokemons. Like...
Oh, yeah. I remember distinctly...
Where do I find this? I want to see all the people that are going to fucking talk shit about me liking Digimon over Pokemon.
You know, all of this will be on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. You can check us out pretty much anywhere that there are podcast platforms.
I want to see the comments.
Yeah.
Tear me down.
I don't know if we have comments.
I don't think you can comment on
the
podcast.
Yeah. Honestly, that was the biggest reason that we wanted to get into YouTube was to try and, like...
Yeah,
do better outreach.
Because everyone I listen to on YouTube, like, says he tells YouTube to put comments and tells, like, stream to do something else because they can't put comments or something.
Oh, that's so weird.
Man, YouTube didn't even fucking have ads for so goddamn long.
Dude, that would be so nice.
It was. I would watch, like, hour and a half long videos.
When I get a 10-second unskippable YouTube ad, 15-second, I know it's
so
not that much, but you gotta think, they put, like, two or three ads in a row, and then they put three or four of them in there, because they also forced all the YouTubers to increase the amount of time that they have content for.
Dude, I've been getting triple added, like, the same ad three times in a row on one video.
Bro, it's so... Well,
it's like
I
watching...
Feel like...
What was it? MTV at 3 a.m. You just see every single commercial available multiple times.
Well, that's why...
Oh, Family Guy on Cartoon Network.
Oh,
yeah.
Every 10 minutes.
Girls Gone Wild on Comedy Central.
Dude, I would see some weird commercials during those Nickelodeon George Lopez, like, 4 a.m.
Oh, it was adult time.
Oh, right? Oh, yeah. But it was
Nick at Night.
Yeah, it was such a weird...
I learned about erectile dysfunction at a very...
My... So many mesothelioma ads.
Oh,
my name's
Doug,
and I have mesothelioma.
Oh my god.
And
do
still
you guys
all
remember
G.G.
Wentworth?
G.G. Wentworth.
What kind of question
is some cash now? You know what the best thing is?
It's my money, and I need it now!
See, I wanna go to a concert with you guys, because one of the best things
that
I've found...
Get the shit kicked out of us, rightfully so.
What do you mean? I was in line at a political event. This is going to sound crazy. But I was in line at a political event, and we were bored. And in this room full of suit and tie wearing conservatives, where the funniest joke they had ever heard, apparently, was I'd walk up to them and I'd be like, yeah, I'm a libertarian odinist. I don't really know what I'm doing here. My name's Rockwell Peterson. Nice to meet you guys. And each and every time... They would fucking die laughing from that when I was just genuinely trying to be like, I don't know why I'm here.
No,
but
explain what this is.
That was just for context. So I start doing the, like, Red Robin Young calls and stuff. Like, just naming stuff off from that with, like, a response and answer thing. And I got the entire board line of kids, young adults my age, all screaming it at the top of their lungs while we're waiting to get in. It was so much fun, honestly. Like, I don't know. I love when you can get a group of people to do anything together, honestly. Like, just the energy is amazing.
Crowd mentality is a terrifyingly one of the dumbest things about humans.
I mean, it's fickle, but we are herd animals.
Yeah, so. I mean, fucking, when people start stampeding, it's bad, but fucking mosh pits are fun.
Dude, I love mosh pits, man.
I'm fucking, dude, I'm too old for that shit anymore, though. Like, yeah. I think it's mostly, like, I don't have the fucking cardio for it, dude. Like, I go in, like, dude, I used to be in the pit, like, the whole fucking show for, like, every single fucking band. And now I'm like, I'll do it for, like, bangers. And then I'm, like, fucking dead.
Yeah, 2 days into Riot Fest, we were fucking done. Let's go on a away tour. Yay, I'm gonna be in the back. This is dope. Okay, I'll get in the mosh pit. Fuck.
See,
for the next 3 days, you're laying in your bed.
Ugh.
See, I was lucky because I was working at Arctic Glacier where I had to lift and bag about 100 tons of ice.
Jesus, man.
Fun job.
That's wild.
$11.50 an hour.
Oh, that's not worth it, bro.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
There's no way that's worth that.
Our manager that was the outside hire that didn't know how to do his job got 24 an hour, I learned, after he left.
Jesus. Of course. Yeah. Of course he did. See, how do some people make what they do?
Because profit margins are expected to be at least 100% nowadays.
By undercutting their fucking employees?
Yeah. Yeah, fucking tip. Like, I'm a bartender, and tipping is a very stupid convention.
Dude, I started working at Botticelli's when I was 15, making $7.25 an hour.
Jesus.
And, like, my dad was fucking, like, we were, like, friends with him, the owner and the head chef, who was the owner's daughter. And fucking, oh, dude, the owner of that place was, like, fucking cunt. Fucking raging alcoholic who wanted nothing to do with that fucking place and took it out on everybody.
Jesus.
And she's fucking rolling around fucking balling and buying shit for her fucking piece of... Do you know Ryan Gear?
No.
Fucking... Yeah. Whatever. Fuck it. Huge piece of shit.
Is he a gearhead?
T knows who he is. But yeah, fucking, I stayed at 725 for like 3 years.
Jesus, yeah. Man.
How long is Akidoba?
That's rough.
Yeah.
See,
and that's with fucking like moving up to like salads and doing prep and fucking cooking on the line and shit.
Yikes. Wow.
Didn't even combat with inflation.
See, I got in trouble because I worked at Murphy's for a really, really long time, and I was making, I think, $11.75 as a busboy and a expo.
Mm. Did you get tips?
Yeah, I got tipped out on top of it. It usually averaged out to about $15 or $16 an hour, which honestly was pretty good. It was, there's a reason I was there for 5 years, you know what I mean? Like, I do, it's like a home to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just remember, because it was
a shitty older brother running the house.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I don't know, man. I discovered for the first time why it is that some companies don't want you to talk about how much you make. Because I didn't understand it at first. I'm like, no, you want to be transparent with this. And then after being there for 5 years and learning the turnover rates and, like, I wouldn't learn somebody's name until they had been there for at least 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, hey, man, hey, bro, hey, dude, like, I need to hear your name 3 or 4 times to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad because I'm just really, really bad with names, but it just wasn't worth it.
Like that.
Yeah, there's not even a point to it. You know what I mean? And it mainly came from people who I know were bad at their jobs and weren't able to do the amount of stuff that I did for that place, who are making like $9.50, $10 an hour doing the same classification of job, but really not doing the job to the same extent.
Mm-hmm.
complain saying that they should be making more than I do because they think that they're better at their jobs.
I do love the whole, like, I've been here longer than you. Okay, then why are you such a shitty worker?
Yeah, that's like, thing, what?
Dude, that's all still just, like, management's fault for not fucking
taking care of their reactionary employees now.
And not training them well and paying them well and fucking,
like, every job I've had, there's no, like, hey, like, I think it looks like the economy's not too great around here locally right now, so I'm going to give my employees a little raise.
Yeah.
You got to wait for them to bitch at you for about a year, and then, like, oh, here's a quarter, guys.
But, yeah, I mean, even if you put a lot of hard work and training into an incompetent person, then it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, but it's also competent people go to who pays them a competent wage.
Exactly.
Which is...
Why
you know,
you don't
half
around anywhere a whole long.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you gotta go where people will recognize your skills. Because at the end of the day,
come here, Carol.
Like, in the nature versus nurture argument,
boy,
it's just how you express yourself in different environments. You gotta choose the environment.
Especially
because
right
you're
going
to be in.
Like right now,
and that you want for yourself.
Come here.
Like right now around here, fucking the companies need you far more than you need them.
Yeah.
Everyone is hiring and everyone is short-staffed.
Well, why do you think I pay them so much? Like, I did research into it because I learned from that experience at Murphy's where I was like, okay, I can understand this, but I now need to be transparent and open with everyone.
Yeah, if you do this,
and keep it the same.
Make this.
Yep. Everyone's expected to do the same job. Everyone is expected to do the same amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
You're all going to get paid the same.
Yeah.
And if you can't cut it, I'm just going to cut you. Because I need people. Yeah, I need people who can do it.
Exactly.
If you're going to fork out more than anyone else around town, you need to put the work in to get it.
Exactly.
Like if you see
you got to earn it.
If you see someone who might not be good at the job, then you're not like, okay, I'll pay you less. You'll just be like, no, I'm not going to hire you.
Yeah, exactly. Because why would I?
Yeah.
Why would I? There's no reason to.
Like, I'm not going to pay you to train you for the next 2 or 3 months, and then you're going to be good at the job and be able to do it semi-effectively.
Exactly.
Not real.
Like, I get it with new businesses. Because one thing that I've learned is that it's a lot like developing a video game. Like, you get the initial idea, and you begin implementing it. And then you go through your beta phase, and you go through your alpha phase, and then you'll do a soft launch and a full launch. I like to say that right now, we're ending the alpha phase in our business and getting ready for a soft launch, basically, is where we're at. And you can see that in the caliber of people that you hire. But that's something you should strive to do as a business, because if you get complacent at any point along that path and just go, oh, this is good enough, I'm just going to run with the beta version.
It's not going to work out?
No, you're going to have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Like everyone that opened a place in Main Street Square who like, oh, I'm going to make tons of money this summer and piss off all the locals and it won't matter and they all shut down in a year.
Yeah.
Like, what, literally, there were 2 ice cream places, there was that hot dog place, there was a burger place.
Too many people bank on the tourist money here, and they don't understand that the tourists here aren't your average money-dropping tourist, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a place for...
This is like
lower middle class families to come.
Yeah, a lot of money does come through here, and a lot of really wealthy people do come here.
Yeah.
But not enough to.
Like, there's very
float
niche
your business
places where those
people
spend their money.
And it's mainly based on their friends.
It's definitely like a working class vacation.
Yeah.
And it's also like if you're probably.
I mean, that's kind of like the whole spirit of it.
Because, like, as a bartender, so many people have come up to me, like, hey, what's a good place to eat around here? So, like, if you piss off the locals, they're going to say, hey, this place is shitty because they're pieces of shit. Go to this place instead. Like Firehouse.
Yeah.
No one recommends the Firehouse.
Because it's shitty.
It literally
it's
all comes down
open.
To...
And it still owns, like, a block.
I don't know anybody who likes the Firehouse.
I haven't met a single soul from the
And
contact.
I never have.
Nope.
I'm not...
Not their beer. Not their... I mean, I've heard... I don't know, I haven't been there in years.
I mean, I don't think they're terrible, but like...
I'm not gonna lie, my uncle owns it. Which explains why it still exists. Same with Wobbly Bobbies.
Well, doesn't that that millionaire, didn't he own, wasn't that a piece of the downtown he owned?
Yeah, so it's probably one and the same.
Oh, okay. Does he own Bank Street Square?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
We have a wing in the Doll Arts Center for my...
my dad said the owner of the park has, quote-unquote, more money than God.
It's MG Oil.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was over there at... talked to him, I think it was like the day after we got the contract.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have that contract. It's awesome. It's a big jump for us, you know what I mean? It's a good establishing step.
Yeah.
Because we are the company they hired. They're a new business in town. You know what I mean? It still came from having those small town connections and being a good person and making sure you take care of your people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, the reputation that I and we all, by working together, have built is what allowed us to get that contract.
Yeah.
Is because they knew us.
Which is also funny, because, like, I mean, this is a small town, but it's not that small of a town.
Not anymore.
See, people know everyone.
What's crazy is the people who live here have forgotten, because we are such a welcoming community, like, we're so good at integrating.
Oh, yeah.
New people into our community.
Yeah.
Like, because even people from different states that come here forget that they're not locals after a couple of years. Because that's just the way this place is. Because that's, like I like to say, the Wild West never died, it just grew up.
The Wild West is a fucking black hole.
Yeah, pretty much. It's still the same, man.
I mean, fucking, like,
this place does have a weird, like, fucking... supernatural gravity well esque property to it.
I mean, we're also like, Black Hills has a lot of shit around it as well for
it's
centuries.
Crazy.
Longer, probably.
Yeah, the Native Americans called it the heart of the world in the Black Hills here.
And Mount Rushmore was one of their most famous
tradition
sites. Well, not tradition sites.
He's fucking gotten to travel so much for fucking work. Being a liquor distributor, going to different fucking distilleries and breweries and fucking wineries and shit. And I'm like, wait, he easily could have left to one of these amazing fucking places and just never did. Like, the farthest he's lived from home is Mankato. I'm like,
yes. I'd say most of my friends plan on staying here the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Well, that's because, honestly, I've traveled quite a bit. And it's really...
there's nothing that can compare to the Black Hills.
Yeah. No, truly.
It's 10 minutes.
I disagree.
I'm out at a fucking lake away from fucking anyone.
I want to move out to Oregon or Steamboat, Colorado, because the coast of Oregon is beautiful, and so is Steamboat. Like,
those foggy days, those are my favorite.
Oh, it's amazing. But, I mean, when you factor in everything, like the cost of living and
vibe with the Pacific Northwest, like,
laws aren't
that great. Depressing weather.
Justice system.
Me too, man. Honestly, I love the rain. Like, foggy rain.
Dude, overcast days are my favorite.
Oh, dude. Just half my closet is built for the fall.
Yeah. Yes, Earth, shower me in your sorrow. Let me know I'm not alone.
Yeah, man, honestly. Like, I would not mind, especially if the Greater Idaho movement goes through. And they, like, a good portion of Oregon is attempting to secede and join Idaho.
Like, that's iffy, because Idaho doesn't necessarily want it.
No, but I don't blame them.
Just picture stingy, angry potato farmers.
So it's
yeah,
a very
fucking hipsters.
Like, it's, like, the east of Oregon is incredibly rural and Republican, and to be it's very fair, because it's like a 6-hour drive for the representative to get to the Capitol.
Jesus.
And so, like, it's like 3 hours to the Capitol for Idaho or whatever. And so, like, logistically, it kind of just makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, we forget that they're just lines on a map. But if the greater Idaho...
I was literally thinking about this earlier. Like, we are getting to a point where people are becoming far too invested in their states.
Yeah, honestly. Like, it may not be a bad idea to relook at redrawing the state lines based on population.
Yeah.
And reanalyzing the union.
Which would be, like, you could get rid of gerrymandering a lot easier that way.
Absolutely.
But we're also at the point where, I mean, tradition, so, like, our constitution is a couple hundred years old. And, well, yeah, it's got some good stuff, but...
We need to update it.
It's so outdated. Like, it needs to be completely rewritten.
Dude, one of the fucking powdered wigs even said it should be fucking updated every, like, 15 years.
Yeah, that's the original goal.
Really, in the
line. We're not doing anything about it.
Exactly. Honestly, I don't think it'd be a bad idea to restructure the states into almost more of a territory style. Like, reduce the number of states, increase the population in each state, because, like, we need to legitimately, there's an amazing, like, social science book about the 9 nations of America. And so what it goes into is actually the cultural distance.
Did happen, like, seeing how fucking people migrate?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. At the end of the day, you got to look at it where our society is still set up in a feudal manner because of where we came from, because we are a British society. What we're living in is a large island, is a continent that is enjoying a small island nation culture and status.
Like, we are incredibly multicultural, but there are, like, there's Chinatowns, there's German towns, like, they are incredibly, like, niche areas, relatively.
Well, not only
there's
that...
There's Filipino town outside of outside of LA, and it's a fucking shithole.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we drove through it, because, like, we saw the signs for it, and I was like, oh, I'm Filipino, let's go check it out. I was like, oh my fucking god, dude, let's get the fuck out of here.
Oh god, dude. Yeah, man, that's... See, it's like,
because, I mean, there's still, like, so many, like, it's just how this country was built 50, 100 years ago. Like, most minority populations have the shittiest land, and that's where all the waste gets dumped.
Yeah. That's why I don't think we need, like, a communist revolution or anything, but I think we do need to actually look at the sheer amount of land
that people own.
That not only that people own, but that we're not using.
Oh, just so much. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, we're still a water-based society. Like, our biggest population centers are in areas that, believe in climate change or not, won't be there in 100 years.
Exactly, and that's part of what, like, that's an interesting factor of the 9 nations, because we already conceptualize it in the way that we talk about different parts of the country. So west, midwest, northeast, northwest, south, deep south. Like, those are the 9 nations. You know what I mean? Like, you just gotta think about them as all the distinct subcultural groups.
I'd say make something it, about I'd say make it
deep
more
south
fun.
Just sounds... wrong.
Oh no, that's right. They're like, those are the literally, like, the worst cops, the small local deep southern cops that have no jurisdiction on them at all from anyone.
And doing that, like, making it way smaller down to 9 nations would make laws way much easier.
I'd also say you'd want to do it more kind of vertically, so you don't have, like, because, I mean, like, Texas is so radically different from, like, Oregon that you're gonna have, like, mass, like, the people are going to evolve differently given the time. So you're going to want to put the people in, like, the same area, even if they're in a different climate.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's crazy.
Like, you're just going to, like, you're going to need to make different laws for the areas, but...
Well, that's why I'm a big fan of decentralization. Like, I think that we need to begin... First, we need to look at the way that we have our state set up. And then we need to seriously take a look into giving them more power in the correct ways, whether they be states or territories, whatever grouping of like-minded people are in that area should be allowed to some degree, choose how they're going to live their lives on an actual realistic level and give them the freedom to do that. Because we need to restore our power to our local elections by a much larger degree. Because at the end of the day, that's what impacts your life most. And a lot of people don't vote because they're like, oh, what the federal government does doesn't impact my life. It does, but it doesn't have to nearly as much as it does now if we focus more on decentralization, because the Midwest would never be short on oil, and neither would the Southwest. And each area would have its own. California.
If actually went out and fucking voted, then yeah, it would fucking matter.
Exactly. See,
that's kind of my problem with decentralization, because it's just not a correct word, because it's re-centralization. Like, it's just an adjustment of power at the end of the day. If you have enough time, you're going to run into the same problems we have with big government over large swaths of land that you're going to find over small swaths of land. Like,
yeah.
Look at the mass local corruptions we have now.
No, absolutely. And I feel like we need to look into better ways that we can implement checks and balances. And honestly, right now...
Well, it's just transparency. You can't have a democracy without transparency, and we have lost that if it was ever even there.
Well, that's part of where the term decentralization comes from, though, is it's harder to be transparent when you are a continent away from the person who makes decisions about how you're going to live your life.
See, that's also like...
There
needs to be mass infrastructure overlay, too, because you can just have a small piece of that everywhere, but you don't need a small piece of it because we have technology, so you can have all of it in several locations all over the country.
It takes 8 hours to get across Texas in a car. From one end to the other. You're still in Texas.
Like, one end of Texas is so radically different.
Oh, God, fucking, when I went to California, when we drove out there, we probably spent about 8 hours in Wyoming. We, like, cut diagonally through. So, like, all of just the shit parts of Wyoming. We actually passed through a basically unpopulated town called Hell's Half Acre. And I was like, they should just fucking rename this whole state Hell's Half Acre.
I mean, it's nice.
I've never seen, like the Bighorns or Jackson Hole. But fuck Wyoming. My mom's from there, too.
Jackson Hole's basically I was born in Idaho.
Yeah, I was born in Cheyenne.
That's better than Gillette. Although Gillette's pretty nice now, I guess, which is weird. Like, they have a Walmart and money.
Well, that's money. Kind of what I hope happens to Watertown. Because my family moved out of Watertown two generations ago when shit got bad. Like, that town was gripped by meth for a long fucking time. But now it's having, like, a business revival. And, like, we gotta stop writing places off just because they are where they are right now.
The high and got clean.
Well, yep. The population grows.
Pretty much.
So many people are coming to Rapid, and a lot of them won't stay. They'll be like, hey, I can be 2 hours away over there, come here to, like, shop every now and again and live out on the plains or something. Like, they're going to...
Why in the fuck would you ever want to live out there and have to make that fucking drive to go do anything?
Because 2 hours doesn't sound... like a lot
this is America.
When
it's
you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Especially like
plus that's a
once
every
person.
2 weeks trip. Like,
yeah.
When we were in
going
Gillette, we'd come
2 hours and go 10 miles.
Yeah. Like
just think about how that drive makes me wanna kill myself.
You know, I go out there almost every year for pheasant hunting. It is awful. I have legitimately the drive between here and Sioux Falls and the drive between here and Denver, both of them.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, the closest town to this area. The drive will make you want to die.
Oh, it's so bad.
Like, on the way back from Utah one time, we had all the tires in our, like, camper turn sideways and start on fire in Fort Collins, Colorado, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, dude, it's, like, raining and cold outside, and I wake up in the back of a pickup truck, like my dad's pickup truck, to the smell of burning rubber.
Ugh. Tire.
It was awful, dude.
Dude, it's never good when you wake up in the back of a car, even if that you know.
I don't know why.
It happened to me two times. The first time was when my fucking uncle was picking me and my dad up because he was taking my dad to the hospital because his ex-wife busted a full beer over his head.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then the second time it was actually pretty funny. I think it was the night I graduated. We were at this one party, and then we went to this fucking other trailer party out in Hill City. And I was just slamming Ron Diaz all night.
Oh, God.
And the last thing I remember is we were making our way to another party. We had a DD, for anybody who's wondering. And I was trying to stash my fucking Ron underneath the seat of my Jeep, and I pulled the whole fucking seat off.
Oh.
And I was just laughing my ass off when my friends got to the car, and then I blacked out. And then Jesus. I woke up in the back of my Jeep, in my friend's driveway, in the hills, and I was just like, where the fuck? Like, it was definitely a moment of panic, but then, like, I figured out where I was, and I was like, okay.
Why do rappers brag about waking up in the back of random cars so often?
Like,
at least three or four rap songs in my playlist talk about waking up in the back of a car multiple times.
Dude, it's better than
maybe me. It's just your algorithm.
I don't know why my algorithm thinks I like waking up in the back of a car.
Nostalgia.
Oh yeah, gotta love it.
I watched a video.
Actually,
about.
Technically, I woke up in the back of a car a bunch when I was living in my car.
Also, fair.
Not great.
No, oh, Jesus, man.
Dude, I watched a video about Lean a couple days ago. That shit is fucked up.
Let's drink cough syrup. That sounds like a good idea.
Dude, there's a reason so many rappers are dying at, like, 30 or whatever. It's not a curse. It's because they're drinking cough syrup in stupid amounts.
Oh, bro. Well, it's addictive. They, no, you don't, nobody ever talks about it.
It's incredibly addictive. And it's easy to get.
Yeah, especially if you get over the taste. Because if you're drinking that all night, you're not going to notice the taste. Same with alcohol. And now you're just, like...
killing yourself.
Yeah, you're just...
Oh, man.
Overloading your body with cough syrup, bro. That makes my body hurt to think about.
Dude, when I was living in Minneapolis, when I was like 19, I went through this weird fucking like probably 3 or 4 week long 151 phase.
Oh god.
And fucking like I would start out like pacing myself, and then I would get kind of drunk and it wouldn't burn so bad, so I would just fucking start drinking it like it was normal whiskey and just get fucking shit-faced every single night.
Oh, God, dude. I couldn't do it.
No.
It would... ugh.
I think Minneapolis is definitely the most fun place I've lived.
That's awesome, man.
I also have a lot of...
You wanna go back?
That was during, like, my fun... What?
You wanna go back?
Not right now.
Probably a good idea.
That was like the fun phase of my drinking.
That's fair. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it was a beautiful city.
I'm better, my buddies. Have a good one.
Have a good one, man.
Yeah, okay.
Dylan just bounced out, but we still got Tommy and Isaac kicking it with us.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this one time when Mitch was coming to visit, We were at this fucking gay bar, the Saloon. Best fucking cheese curds and burgers in downtown Minneapolis, for sure.
That's awesome.
But I had snuck a bottle of Jim Beam just in my pants out of the club. And we were outside smoking, like, tucked away in a corner where no one could see us. And I took a couple pulls while we were smoking. We were out there for like 20 minutes.
Fair.
And we're going back inside, and the bouncer's like, give it up, man. And I'm all drunk, like, oh, no, you're talking about it, dude. And he's like, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And I was like, Kyra, lay down. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I'm taking it out of my pants, and as I'm doing it, I'm twisting the cap off to get one more pull out of it. And I get it to my mouth, and he fucking swipes the bottle, sets it down, and just manhandles me, fucking tosses me over the berries, like, don't come back tonight.
Jesus.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's crazy, man.
Yikes.
Wow.
Big cities.
Yeah, dude, I couldn't do it. I mean, I'm sure we'll have to, but I... Yeah. I mean, like, living in one. Yeah. Like, I could definitely work in one, and I think it'd be fun, you know what I mean, to be near one. But I couldn't live downtown in a big city, bro. I'd lose my mind. I couldn't do it.
Oh, I didn't live, like, near downtown.
Lucky.
Yeah, I lived close to the U of M for like a year, and then we moved a little bit, like, I don't know, maybe 5 miles down the road, technically into St. Paul.
So how does that work between like Minneapolis and St. Paul? I guess I've never really understood, like, I know that they're sister cities, but like, where does one, can you tell where one ends and one begins, or like?
I don't remember, honestly.
I don't blame you. It's just always...
I know. I'm pretty sure St. Paul's the older one. Because fucking downtown St. Paul is a shit show. Just like the way it's built.
Laid out.
Yeah, it's just fucking weird.
That's one of my concerns with Rapid, bro. Like, it's
but
so...
But that's where I valeted, though.
At the St. Paul Hotel. Jesus, man.
Yeah, fucking... Yeah, the St. Paul Hotel, which is like... I don't know, it's probably like a 4-star hotel, maybe.
Oh,
really
nice.
Nice restaurant down below, and right by downtown St. Paul.
That's
and
awesome.
And also right by the... A couple event centers, including the Excel Center, where the Wild play hockey.
And that's crazy.
Big shows and shit there.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so that's where I did most of my valeting, so I got to go to fucking dope-ass cars.
I'm right. Sure, bro. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. After I got my DUI, like, one of the last cars I got to drive was an Audi R8.
Ooh.
Oh, it was so fucking... Dude, it was like... So it's like a half circle cutaway out front where people park their cars. And dude, I barely put my fucking big toe on the gas and it lurches out. And I was like, oh my fucking god.
Jeez,
definitely took it around the block.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
I honestly don't blame you, man. That's so cool.
Our shenanigans were definitely... there wasn't ever really shenanigans unless we did just take something around the block.
Yeah. That's fair. I was working security at the Alex Johnson... One of my buddies that worked valet accidentally hit the, like, corner, like, the cement corner on the parking garage on one of the levels.
Dude.
Yeah, because we were taking, like, 3 trucks up, and he was a bit slow on the turn and ended up, like, clipping a Ford Raptor, bro.
Oh,
brand new.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was so bad. He ended up having to work off the insurance deductible on it.
Yikes.
Yeah. Like, he had to pay for it, basically. And I felt so bad for the guy.
Yikes. That would suck.
Yeah, dude. That was crazy.
Well...
I appreciate you.
That seems like,
yeah.
I guess, the end.
Yeah, I think we've hit the end point. We're going to... Oh, wow. Yeah, that's 41 minutes in, so this will be about an hour and 10-minute episode. I appreciate you guys for hanging out with us for this long. It's been a real treat
time.
Having you. Yeah,
yeah,
it's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for being on, Tommy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is weird. I don't like this part. Leave me out of this shit.
Right. I got you, man. Well, thank you guys for listening. You can reach out anytime at ponderosaponderers@gmail.com.
Or ponderosa_ponderers
ponderers
on Instagram.
Yeah, and thank you guys for hanging out. And don't forget, keep pondering.